Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you very much. And then the panic just ensued. I was good until Thursday. For some reason, everybody just went bat crazy on Thursday. And so, you know, I was just, everybody was completely panicked. Now, I don't know about my guest. we're waiting for Sheriff Israel. He'll be here soon. But I will introduce you to, you know them both, returning guest. And then member of the barbershop, Chris Norwood is in the building. How are you, sir?
I'm doing absolutely fine. Thank God we all made it through.
Yes. Did you lose power?
I was one of the fortunate ones and lost power for about 20 hours, I think, a little less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I actually was in Key West for a week before the storm. I came back that Tuesday before and went
same day.
Automatically into just preparedness mode. Yeah.
So did you do the Africana Festival?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
How are you gonna just like I was in the Keys?
No, that was in June. We did that.
Oh, okay.
And it was a great success. But I went down there for a week for my birthday
to
chill out.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the Keys. We need to pray for them as well, based upon what happened in that storm. But, you know, I'm happy to be back here at the barbershop. I'm one half of the barbershop. I got thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I got things to say, Joe, so I'm just waiting. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, our other member of the barbershop I think he's preparing to leave, but he will be back. Dwight Bullard, shout out. Love to you. And our returning guest, who we just, you know, we just love, and I always find a new respect for him. You know, I did not know that you not only are you a school board member, but you were born and raised and went through this school system.
Yes, yes. Started up my career as a classroom teacher after being a student of the Miami-Dade County Public School System, a graduate of Miami Northwestern Senior High School. Go Bulls.
Mr. Steve Gallen.
Came
in the
back.
Building.
Yes, teacher, assistant principal.
Listen.
Been through the ranks. Yes, ma'am.
So you are acutely aware of the just blatant, bring tears to your eyes disrespect.
Absolutely.
Coming from the Dade County School System.
Well, I wouldn't want to cast a wide aspersion on the public school system.
Well, I will for you.
I mean, I represent that. I think... the fourth largest district in the nation has high expectations, of which we all do, as it relates to all of the issues that we face, especially issues that will perplex underserved communities, underserved populations, but more importantly, underserved children. So I express that sentiment consistently before my campaign, since my election, and I will continue to express that as a concern. And I think that became more acute this week on the heels of Hurricane Irma, before, during, and after the storm. So I share some of those sentiments, but I would not paint a broad brush, because as a member of the board, I spoke up.
As a member of the board.
I spoke up in terms of advocating for some of the issues that were of concern, of which I believe my colleagues share that same concern as well. But, you know, we have to do three things, I believe, as elected officials. We have to stand, speak, and be willing to fight. For our children and for our community, I think we had some issues that were worth standing, speaking, and fighting for as it relates to our children after the storm.
No, most definitely. And all of which I hope we get a chance to discuss tonight, because I think between, you know, Dade County School System and FPL and Comcast, hashtag tone deaf is, you know, about where it all seems to lay out. And it wouldn't be, it's such a stark contrast, the way the storm was treated in Dade and Broward, that, you know, I hardly know where to start. But let's start at the beginning, because I think this is probably the first storm that we've had so much prep time. I mean, it started on Tuesday. That storm didn't hit till Sunday. We had almost a good week to be prepared. And the hysteria about this is going to be the biggest storm ever.
Well, Jill, I mean, you know, it was foreseen as being, you know, a Category 5 that initially was headed straight to Miami initially. But apparently, Jill, our county government did not prepare itself, I believe, in the way that it should have.
No.
And thank God, maybe there are some issues that we can learn from the school system, but thank God the school system did what it did do.
Which is?
Because if they didn't do what they did, it would have been a lot worse, which is demand that these shelters at these schools be opened more than what was initially anticipated. And I'll let Steve speak to exactly, you know, to the effect of that. But that was something that came directly from the school system. The county was not prepared to open up more than, I think, 8 to 10 shelters, and it went up to 41 or 42.
Right.
You know, and the question I think I have, particularly the brothers in the barbershop, is what does it take to open up all the shelters and be prepared for that when a Category 5 is coming straight to you, anticipated early on in the week? What do we need to get all those shelters? Do we need to have a nuclear scare? I mean, what do you need? If it's Category 5 coming straight to you, you know what I'm saying? What DEFCON do we need to be at?
Yeah, well, you know, nuclear, clearly. Clearly, Kim Jong-un would have to be on his way getting off a plane.
Yeah, yeah. Chris is absolutely right. I think there's enough blame to go around, but Chris is absolutely right. There's a process by which we go through establishing shelters. The county makes that decision in terms of what schools will be shelters.
Okay, let me just cut that for a short right quick, because I read one of the memo that you sent to Carvalho. And I thought that it was completely within protocol, but I was also struck by the level of formality that you had to have with him in order to have this correspondence.
That's another issue. We want to get to that issue. That's a very critically important issue. But I want to clarify and address the issue about shelters, because I think that was in the first quarter. If you're anticipating shelters and you identify 8 to 10, that's before the storm. So we have three iterations of this: before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm.
Right.
And I think there's an opportunity for improvements across the board. But even before the storm arrived, when you have the optics, let's just face it, when you have the optics that will never leave my mind of South Dade, with people standing in line for 2 to 3 hours in the hot sun with infants and children and elderly, I think that was the first indication that something that's not right here. So as Chris mentioned, we had about 8 to 10 shelters that were identified, but we opened up 41 plus.
Right. Well, the first, this is the disconnect for me, though. Mm-hmm. The first indication was that, you know, either pick one, the European or the American model, that it was going to hit us in a way that, you know, was not. By the way, the European model was from the door.
How do they do that?
I don't know how. I mean, meteorologist is one of those jobs. We all should have went into it, because that's the only job where you can be consistently wrong all the time and still keep your job. So, but the European model was right. It had to go in the right direction, right? So even if you didn't know, in all the hysteria, I would think that the county government and the school board would be thinking on Monday, wow, if this hits us, let's go with the worst case scenario. What should we be planning now? How did that conversation not happen?
Well, fortunately, we have somebody here who can tell you, not just from a board member perspective, but as a former school administrator who who had right. a school. He can explain it all to you.
Yeah, and only disagreement I have is that we're talking about Monday. This conversation cannot be a Monday conversation.
Well, I mean, I'm this just has, giving this that.
But I'm yeah. saying even more so, I'm agreeing with you more Man. Emphatically.
Right.
I'm saying when a determination is made in the fourth largest school district in a highly dense population of South Florida that's not too far away from the shores where the storms come in and we identify 8 to 10 shelters, right. I think that was problematic. At the onset.
Yeah.
So how do we go about coordinating a relief shelter effort from 8 to 10 and get to 41? That's determined at the beginning of the school year when you start identifying what's going to be a shelter. And that was a problem from day one. So I think your shelter provision was inadequate, which we found out. If we have 40 shelters and all of them are filled two or above capacity, 8 right. to 10 wasn't going to cut it.
Well, this is true. And just like, just, you know what? I can't make these things up. Just like Superman that he is, here comes him. On cue, Sheriff Scott Israel walked in the room. Right, Chris, I'm sending you back to the barbershop.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
The barbershop is expanding. Sheriff Israel's here. And you know what? I hope you heard Dr. Steve Gallon's question. Because at the onset of our conversation, I said that, you know, it just... I don't understand the disconnect between Hal Broward. Is he on? Hal Broward was so well prepared and Dade wasn't. So, welcome, Sheriff Scott Israel.
I saw you 2 days in a row.
I know. Can you believe it? So let's. I do want to start since I have you both here now. Representing both, the police and the school system. On the biggest disconnect I find with all of this is how, and I think it's just, it's glaring how each county handled this storm. We were on the front lines of it, so we were able to see it from, I just mentioned that I came in that Monday before the storm. So Tuesday, I hit the ground running. So even given that, you know, so Monday, as they're promoting the biggest storm that ever happened, that will ever hit South Florida in the history of the world. When did you start preparing?
I'd say...
Your game plan, Sheriff Scott Israel, for Broward County in light of this storm.
You know, I don't want to be cliche with this, but probably 3 years ago with the tabletop exercises and taking it seriously, as most football coaches will tell you, you play like you practice. We take our training very seriously, and we don't only do it with law enforcement. We bring fire, we bring the school board, we bring everybody into our training. So we try and make it, when it's for real, it's a dress rehearsal. And then I would say 10 days out, we started talking, we started having conferences, we brought everybody in, we told composites within the sheriff's office to meet individually, and then we brought people, then we brought the police side in, the detention side in, and the fire side in, and then we brought everybody together. So when it happened, we knew, we were all business. We had our chin straps buckled. We had our game face on. We had some problems, like you're going to happen. Everything's not going. But Jill, I want to tell you something interesting that happened in one of the shelters we have. The Red Cross runs the shelters.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Cross asks everybody who comes into the shelter for their identification.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have identification or you gave a fake name, they're not going to deny you access, but they do ask you, you know, and most people, of course, give identification, or if they don't have their identification, right. give their real name.
Right.
What I have done is, then I have our deputies assigned to the shelter to cross-reference the names of those who register with those on the sexual offender list. And if you're a sexual offender, we don't deny you access to the shelter, but you're segregated from the population, and you're now, I don't think we had anybody like that, but there were some people who said that they felt and again, we talked about this before, you got to do what you think is right. You
right.
know, and lions don't care about the opinion of sheep. But some people felt that if you're a sexual offender, but you're not wanted at that time, but you're on the list, that you shouldn't be stigmatized and that you should be able to go about wherever. I was elected sheriff to protect Broward County, and the most vulnerable people in our county are our children.
And the elderly.
And the elderly. And there was not going to be anything, you know, nobody was going to get victimized on our watch. And mm-hmm. we were absolutely going to segregate sexual offenders from the general. But, you know, so you learn these things and, you know, and sometimes you got to, you know, stand your ground and you know.
Right.
And, but I thought the working relationship, that we had with our other partners in the community really helped out.
Key word in that sentence is partners. And Robert Runcie, can you pull that Robert Runcie up for me? Robert Runcie and I discussed that out at the event Saturday. We were all at Dillard High School. It was a magnificent effort between partners like Cox Media Group, the Urban League of Broward, Broward County Schools, BSO, United Way, the Miami Dolphins. Everybody came together. You see it, Tato? Everybody, if you don't see it, I'll pull it up at the top of the hour. I mean, after this break. Everybody came together, and what's key that you said is that you all have been planning for years, and you've been planning together as a group. So that when this happened, it wasn't like, holy mother of God, what will we do?
That's right.
Okay, so Steve, how did that look in Dade County? Did you all have that same sort of practice? Is this something that you do regularly? I understand that we're talking police and school board, but, you know, training is training.
Yeah.
And we do have a hurricane season every year.
As a policymaker, I'm not involved in the day-to-day operations, but
right.
I will tell you, since I've been elected, there were not any trainings that I was aware of in terms of coordinating this effort. A lot of the information that we got and the updates that we got were as we were fast approaching the storm. So I do think coordination is important, that you do have to have several drills that people are aware of. So I can't say that the training was as explicit amongst all of the partners. So what we do internally is one thing, but what we have to do collectively amongst our partners is another thing. And I think that's an opportunity for us to improve upon, so the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. And I want to harp on something that the chief said, the Red Cross is the managing entity for the shelters. However, as the managing entity, they're in our schools, they're serving our children, they're serving our stakeholders. I don't think it's a situation where one person can assign blame or say this is this person's responsibility versus the other. When you have a partnership that works, and everybody's committed to that partnership, everybody takes ownership of that.
Right.
So that is something that I think we need to improve upon, that there's a sense of ownership from beginning to end. And again, when I mentioned to you early on before the sheriff walked in, this could not be a Monday exercise. This has to be an exercise in South Florida that you anticipate year in and year out, and not in isolation, but that you anticipate this with your partners moving forward. And the Red Cross is one partner, but I think the key partners is your school system, your county government, your police, and I think those are the three entities that are in this community, that are committed to this community, and that are accountable to the community, with all due respect to the Red Cross.
I will just add one, you know, word to that at this point for Dade County. It should be. That's two words. Wait a minute. We got to take a break. Right quick, so we'll come up on the other side, and I want to do a show now. Dade, you can learn a lot from Broward County. Maybe we'll do that on the other side. Stay tuned. I am Jill Trace. This is his Hot Talk on Hot 105.
The Michael Davidson Show is back on the South Florida airwaves.
There's a lot of women who are going without.
Without Snickers, without ice cream.
Yep.
What you just said.
And a woman who's actually holding on right now actually made that point.
I am a 36-year-old single lady who's never been married, and sex is not important. I've had sex almost three times this year and looked at my calendar from last year.
Wow.
Are you doing it right?
Right. I mean, you having sex like a welfare check once a month, you know.
Michael Beeston. Shutting the city down. Weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on Hot 105. Today's aren't being old school.
Family, this is Freddy Cruz. Please support these advertisers that support Hot 105.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black movement.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
USAA members affected by Hurricane Irma. For help with questions and claims, go to the USAA mobile app, usaa.com/help, or call 1-800-531-USAA.
Planet Fitness is welcoming anyone in the Miami area impacted by Hurricane Irma to use their facilities free of charge, such as showers, locker rooms, and additional health and fitness facilities. No membership needed. Starting September 14th until further notice, clubs are welcoming anyone in impacted communities to utilize the amenities free of charge and more. Hours vary by location. Non-members must simply show ID and sign into the guest register. To find a Miami area club near you, visit planetfitness.com and call to confirm if your nearest club is open.
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry is about the furthest thing from a Camry you can imagine.
Get ready to love it for all the wrong reasons.
Love lesson number 9, how to see the big picture in your new Camry.
I'm listening.
Recline your power seat, turn on that available premium JBL audio with Clarify, and look skyward through your Camry's available panoramic glass roof. Then give it a friendly wave.
What's up, Mother Nature?
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry, you're gonna love it.
For all the wrong reasons, baby.
Toyota, let's go places.
If you could get rewarded for sleeping, would you? What about for sitting on a bench, looking out at the ocean? Or for sitting in a comfy chair, watching football on TV? Guess what? That third dream job is real thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings. You can come in, watch football, and earn points with blazing rewards just for being there. That's right. You're a professional football fan now. Brag about it to all your friends. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
Terms and conditions apply. Must be a Blazin' Rewards member. To join in for details, visit BlazinRewards.com or download the Blazin' Rewards app.
I'm Jonah in the morning. I'm Jonah Morning Show.
I used to drink, you know, like, you know, back before I found the Lord, you know. And I used to find comfort sleeping anywhere. I've slept in cars, on sides of sidewalks. I woke up on a dead dog before.
And we're back Monday from 6 to 9 a.m. on Hot 105. Today's R&B and old school.
Dem go show, dem go show. Dem go show themselves clear, clear. Dem go show. Dem go show, dem go show for sick people. Dem go show themselves clear, clear. Dem go show. Dem go show. Them go show them some crack.
If you go raise the money, we'll get like the ready. So she raised literally within, I think, like 6 hours. The next day, this thing costs about $60,000 worth of food. She's going around here with the food vendors.
Wow.
So when she got that, we talked on the phone the next night around 9 o'clock. And like we put the thing together like literally within 24 hours. And that's how we got here.
That's amazing. When you're committed, you know, to your community and it's authentic and organic, you immediately start to think about your resources and, well, let's get on the phone, let's make it happen. Because that's certainly what happened at Cox Media Group, and we're glad to be here and be a part of it.
Because people always want to find reasons why you can't do it. Well, how are we going to take care of this? For example, like, oh, there's not enough bathrooms out there. Why don't we get some porta potties? We'll make this stuff work, right? So we, you know, we had our police, internal police department, which is very small. We had them go and coordinate with BSO and Fort Lauderdale Police, and we have all kinds of security. Yeah. It was a safe event, but this isn't just about, and you know, helping people find food, which is absolutely, we know they need, because a lot of folks have not had power. Some of them had not had food. They don't have money to go out and stock up when the storms come. And so this, they're in some serious hardship. So being able to do this, some real hot meals that people can have, is huge. But even more so, it's the whole sense of community that you get with this, man. It's people come together. Look, if we care about our brothers and sisters. We're trying to create a fund for kids, too. We got the Miami Dolphins. They got into it. So we got them. They put a kids zone together. But when you think about it, it's the Urban League, the United Way, Sunshine Health, and others have JM Family. We called on them. They provided financial support. We're able to pull it off. And, you know, they don't look for headlines or anything, but those organizations always come to the table when the community needs their support. So we're glad to be able to put this on. Hopefully everybody gets power real soon.
Yes.
So we can get back to a state of normalcy.
Yes, indeed. And welcome back to Hot Talk, 888-550-9105. You know, our phone service is still a little sketchy. So, you know, might catch, we might not. But I hope that you will stick and stay with us anyway, if we can't get to the phone lines. That was Broward County School Superintendent Robert Runcy. I ran into him, had the opportunity to spend some time with him. And my guest tonight and many, many nights, Sheriff Scott Israel from BSO. We got a chance to spend some time with the community, like you said, on Saturday at Dillard High School. And as we were talking on the other side, it was they are partners throughout the year helping and supporting the community. So to be able to get on the phone and say, hey, can we get together? Can we do this and make it happen? I don't know if you could hear him say it cost $60,000. They had food trucks out there, and you know what the difference is, in my opinion? It was what can we do to lift some spirits and bring the families together and show them that we love them and we want them to have a good time in spite of everything that has just happened to them. Dade County's approach felt like we are doing this because we are federally mandated to do this.
Robotic.
And you know, when it was 2,000 to 3,000 MRE meals. Those of you who don't know what an MRE meal is, that's what they give you when if you don't eat, you'll die. Okay, that's what they give you. That's what they give people at war and the army. It's a bag. And then wait, I have to find this while I'm looking. While I'm looking for these quotes, so Steve, I don't know if anybody you knew went to the event in Broward County, but one of the reasons, you know, after you were on was that Thursday or Friday? That was Friday.
No, that was Wednesday.
Really?
Yes, I
came. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the communication.
Because I called in.
The communication
exactly.
Went out Tuesday night. I was on Wednesday morning.
Okay, yes. That's right. And so after that, after you were on, then there was a phone call, I think, arranged with the Dade superintendent. And then you couldn't, you know, throw a biscuit and not miss, you know, a food giveaway. And granted, a lot of people had their own personal stuff to do before they could reach out to the community and help. But the community rose to the occasion when the school board was giving out 2,000 to 3,000 of these meals.
And if I may, Jill,
Steve.
I have to say this. Shout outs to Broward County. I think they did a tremendous job. You know, shout out to Miami-Dade County. We got through the process, but I have to say this. I was born and raised in the county of Dade, so I got much love for Miami-Dade County. And that's why I don't want to cast a broad brush, because when you speak of Dade County as a whole, to your point, you're talking about people who rolled up their sleeves. Shout out to James Mungin. Shout out to Valencia Gunda.
That's why
shout
it
out
came
to
through.
These community
yes.
groups who did not wait on the established entities, the bureaucracies, to step in and step on, you know, show out for our community. It was a grassroots level that started to develop, as you mentioned, authentically and organically. So with respect to what the larger institutions didn't do, I think we have to give credit and commendations to those stakeholders, those community people who came out. You had people like,
oh, no,
they were riding around dropping off 40, 50, 60, 70
True.
Meals.
Oh, yeah.
I personally gave out over 1,000 sandwiches to children, water and fruit, personally.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. There was some major gaps when you're talking about the coordination and the collaboration of those entities that we expect to stand in the gap for us as taxpayers.
Exactly.
We have a reasonable expectation, but when those expectations aren't met, I think we would be disingenuous not to commend the village for showing up.
We're definitely getting there.
The village and Dade showed up, but absolutely we did have some gaps of opportunity that we need to learn from, and I don't have a problem speaking truth to power, and that's why that night I couldn't sleep. because I was on the streets watching children who hadn't eaten, and I felt that as the fourth largest school district in the nation, although we may not have the role of being accountable, we're ultimately responsible for our children.
Right.
So that's what warranted that communication, because I had not seen, and I'll say it again, I had not seen any indication of a plan to feed and provide for our children after the hurricane. I said it then, I put it in writing, and I'll say it again tonight on your show. I did not see that. And after that, we started to see a groundswell coming from the formal organizations with the Miami-Dade County Public School System, as you mentioned, starting out with MREs being served to our children and to various community members. So there are lessons to be learned from this, but we're only going to learn from them if we're honest and we're willing to stand in our own truth. And that's all that I ask for of us as elected officials and as responsible entities, to stand in our truth about what did and what did not happen and what we can do moving forward in South Florida, where we know 6 months out of the year, we're in the crosshairs of a hurricane.
And that's what I'm saying. That has never changed. And, you know, hand to hand, woman to woman, man to man, people just rose to the occasion. And that's why I say you couldn't throw a biscuit and not miss somebody giving away food, somebody organizing Valencia Gunder and Munch. They were out there like getting
also,
it in.
But also,
and getting,
Joe, there's also what I like to call the anonymous nobody.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there were a lot of people.
I think a lot, as Steve said, the village definitely did step up. There were people who genuinely just felt like they want to do something.
Right, and they didn't need
them. Whether it was helping a neighbor cut down a tree, whether it was taking ice that they were given to give to a neighbor down the street. I mean, it was all many, many types of just acts of kindness.
That's true.
And then also, you know, there were many elected officials that tried to do all that they could and promote and to advocate and to try to bring things together. But clearly, as a body, as a county government, as an intergovermental
coordinated effort.
There were some things that were lacking.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, you know, I think we never need something like this to happen. But in the face of it, considering where we kind of are, you know, in the country, it's been wonderful to see people just pick up and help other people because that's the thing that you do. Period. It did black, white, Hispanic, otherwise it doesn't matter. You help your neighbors. Mm-hmm.
And we always
talk about how it would be great if we could keep that spirit going throughout the year. And
you
also
never know how people react in situations like this neither.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a fan of the alien that exists in Tallahassee, Rick Scott, but I will tell you this. He provided a calming voice during this situation.
Yeah, he
and
was.
And I would have never had guessed that.
He was hysterical on Thursday.
You know,
I this storm is going to kill people.
Right.
You know.
I don't know
but
how calm
I think
he was.
I think he showed to put a face on this from a statewide situation. I think he did a good job as far as educating people, as far as messaging, and being somewhat of a calming thing. And again, I'm no fan.
He did
of,
no
of,
damage.
Of,
let's
of,
just say
of,
that
of Rick Scott. But I think he did a good job verbalizing what needed to be done.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. We'll give him that. Get that one. But the and I don't, you know, what I don't want to do is just lament all the things that we did wrong. I bring them up because I think it's important that because we have such clear examples of what happens when you work together in partnerships throughout the year in your community versus when you only speak to your neighbor when trouble shows up at your door. And I think that it is glaring what happened, the difference between the responses in Dade and Broward counties. And one of the things that Sheriff Israel and I talked about out at the park was how just a local citizen reached out to them to share with you how the fire department could be used to help facilitate the hospitals. So you were telling them the story you were telling. You tell it better than I do.
Yeah, I think if people ask me 10, 20 years from now, if they say Hurricane Irma and I do word association, I'll never forget this story. And what's really eerie about this and gives me goosebumps is this story took place one day before the tragedy in Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
It was one day before.
Wow.
And I got a call from the board of the Hollywood Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And their satellite facility in Pembroke Pines, Memorial West,
mm-hmm.
was having a severe problem. The air conditioning went out because of the power. And they were getting ready to evacuate over 400 patients. The loved ones of some of the patients who were sleeping with them, staying with them.
Right.
And some of these patients were obviously pregnant women. So you know about that baby, so which would have put the population a little bit higher. and the surgeons were not going to be able to operate. And it was going to be a massive, massive exodus of patients. And one of the, somebody had called the hospital and said that we had a pumper, if you will, a vehicle at our fire department, a huge, huge, massive type vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the ability to place a hose into a canal that jutted up against the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And we went out there with the truck and we sucked water out of the canal and pumped 6,000 pounds of water per second, per minute, into what they call chillers, which immediately allowed the air conditioning to work.
To work.
Now, one person was evacuated, and the surgeons were able to do what they, you know, what they do. And then eventually the air conditioning was fixed or went up or whatever they did. And everything, you know, we'll never know, you know, if we saved any lives, but we know that
you know that
something great happened there. And then the next day, when we started to hear about the tragedy and the news reports of people dying in the nursing home,
eight, Jill,
and it just kept. I just kept going back to the day before, wondering what would have happened if we weren't able to do that,
right,
or someone didn't come up with that idea.
Right, and that was somebody. I guarantee you, I have a story like that. I will tell you all one day. But that was because all the way down that food chain, those people respect where they are and what they're doing, period. And they feel respected. Because that came from somebody answering the phone. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, this, if you all do this, this will work. And that person that answered the phone said, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to pass you into somebody that might be able to listen to this. I don't know if it's true or not, but take this call. And you know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you that's because that person feels respected in their job and they go the extra mile. And that's, it always comes down to that. And that's why that's such a brilliant story.
And that's the
about
key
how,
is
yeah.
going the extra mile.
Yep.
And that's what happened. It was so prevalent in Broward County. Police officers and firefighters and non-sworn personnel that worked for us that weren't even working that went out there. And what about our sororities and our fraternities?
Absolutely.
In Broward County? They were everywhere.
Absolutely.
Helping out people and everything like that.
Nobody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there is
and,
just...
I'm just so proud of Broward County. Boy, Broward County stepped up. They really did.
Yeah.
One of the lessons came that we did see in Dade County that was tremendously positive is the people who were operating on the ground. When you start talking about the command centers and the bureaucracies and the entities that are formally responsible, that's one aspect of it. But in terms of people who are on the ground in those communities that know exactly where the need is, the day we were out actually passing out sandwiches, we were going from one complex to another. And that intelligence, that intel, came from people who said this apartment complex like does not have power. They do have power. They need water. They need this. They need that. So people who are actually on the ground, and I think that's a lesson that needs to be learned. When we start talking about coordination and collaboration, Jill,
mm-hmm.
we often talk right. about the entities, but I think the missing part of that equation is to collaborate and coordinate with those people who are on the grounds in the communities. There's something to be said strategically about dealing with people who are in close proximity to the people and the issue.
Right.
And I think that's a missing link that I saw that we can improve upon. So Yes, you have the Red Cross, you have all of the Salvation Army, but if you don't involve the people who are on the ground in these communities that know who needs what, when, and how, I think we're missing the mark. So we're squandering some resources, we're not leveraging the relationships in those communities, and I think that's a lesson that we can explore moving forward.
And we also need to listen to our communities.
I was going to say.
Because they know sometimes, you know, I just don't like it when, you know, especially law enforcement agencies, we go into communities and we tell communities how to solve their problems. Why don't we let them tell us how they think they need to solve their problems and see if we can help them get there the way that they know, the map, the blueprint that they lay out.
And in some cases, I agree with you, but in some cases, the sad reality is we don't even go there to listen to them.
I was going to say, so the only time you show up is when something's wrong.
So a lot of times we had provisions that are being made available for people who need relief, but guess what? They don't have the transportation. They can't get there. They don't have electricity. They don't have social media. So the people who have the greatest needs don't have access, let alone have the information. So you need boots on the ground. And unfortunately, too often we find that the overall bureaucracies and structures of government fail to embrace, fail to access, and fail to include those people who have relationships and who are relevant in those communities. That's why I gave a shout out to the James Mungin and the Valencia Gundas. I mean, they were boots on the ground from one community, from Little Haiti, Overtown, Opa-locka, Liberty City, but they were going directly into those communities because of the relationships. But could you imagine what they could have done or what they still can do if they have the heft? If they have the heft and the resources. We were out the other day out, you know, hot dogs and buns. And can you imagine if they had a fraction of the resources that are available for hurricane relief and relief for poverty?
Again,
and we don't have that.
Again, and see, and this is what I'm saying as a, you know, I've been a Dade County resident. I was a Dade County resident for a very, very long time. Almost the entire time I've been here. And I just moved to Broward recently in the past 5 years. And, you know, seeing how there is a, I'll put it this way. It's almost midnight. There is a different level of respect, period. And when I said that at the beginning, it was just, I tell you, listening to excuse after excuse about why Dade County didn't do this, the school board didn't do this, and then Daisy, what's her name? Daisy, that works for Cavallo, his assistant or whatever, explaining, I was trying to find it, I'll find it on
Diego
the other side.
Gonzalez.
Her. She was explaining how thankful these people were to get these army meals and, you know, and explaining them, like, there's cheese tortellini and there's this, that, and the third. And I'm like, okay, woosa? Because there was such a disconnect with these. You are there to serve your community. And these, and it was just that same tone of, like, you know, we really extended ourselves to help these poor people, you know, and the children that you were supposed to be teaching. And it was just like, it just stunk up the room as I was reading that article and the whole kind of thread of that, you know, it wasn't done with a passion. It was done because they had to do it. And then they kept doing it because they kept getting called out about the fact that they didn't do it. And then when I think about it, all of the conversations that I've had with Steve and I've had with D.C. Clark and who have been on the ground, came through the school system, and who have really been out there championing these kind of causes for years. And it there's just this cycle of disrespect that's happening in Dade County with Dade County schools. And it's glaring to me now because I live in Broward. I've dealt with BSO for like 3 years now doing this show. And Robert Runcie, they are doing it because they're in these jobs because they care. Like, I'm in this job because I care about, I'm not doing this job for money. Trust and believe it. But I have a gift. And this is where it works well, and I can serve my community. So that's why I do it. That's it. And I feel like so many people in Dade County government are just doing it so I can look benevolent, and that will take me to the next level. Steve. I'm sorry. Let me jump down off my Tide box. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I said
the other day on the air that what's needed in these particular times are three things, possibly four things. Number one, you got to have that sense of compassion.
Yeah.
You have to feel people where they are. You got to have a sense of connection. You got to have a sense of courage. And those things have to resonate organically. I want to kind of go back to that word. As you mentioned, it can't be let's check off the box.
Right.
When you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with children, when you're dealing with underserved communities, you can't check off the box. Meals, check. Water, check. You know, provision, check. No, you have to have some level of engagement and some level of compassion. I'm not here to judge what people did or didn't do, but I have a certain expectation for what I would like to see our children and our community receive. And I'll say it for the record, MREs did not satisfy my level of expectation. I don't mince words. I don't come out here to I'm speaking truth to power, and I'll say it tonight, and I'll say it again. So if there's a plan for provision, if MREs was in that plan as a board member for me is inadequate, and that plan needs to be revisited. It was corrected the next day with hot meals,
right?
But when we're
because
talking about
they were shamed
when we're talking about planning, that right. should not be a part
right.
of a plan.
I mean, I will give you that if the only thing they could think like on that Thursday before was like, let's make sure there are MREs on the ground, you know, moments after the storm on Monday. That's all we can do on Monday. Let's make sure that's there. But not the Thursday after it has happened. It's, yep. You know, it's just, there's, okay, wait a minute. Can I take that? No.
Well, moving forward, we are opening school tomorrow.
Okay.
We will be making provisions for free breakfast and lunch for all of our children. So I think right now we've elevated a sense of compassion for how this crisis in
no,
the community.
No, y'all just don't think
I
some
say we've
shame.
Elevated. We've elevated. Well, we've elevated the discussion. You have to call it out first. I mean, you have to call it by its name.
But you got to call it out. And it's like anything else. You know, if you plant a garden and it's beautiful, and then you don't maintain it, it will be weeds again. We'll be back on the other side to talk about some of the weeds that have popped up. And I'm going to bring in the rest of my panel. Stay tuned. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
$200,000, $300,000. Not one attorney, not any attorney, can promise or guarantee results from a car accident. But 411 Pain will promise and guarantee to get you in touch with one of hundreds of our experienced, knowledgeable, and aggressive network attorneys. Car accident, remember, after 911, call 411, 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a lawyer referral service, non-employee spokesperson.
Hi, I'm attorney Robert Rubenstein, and this is Rubenstein's Rules for Personal Injury. Rule number 9. Head injuries are serious. You can get a brain injury from bad whiplash without even hitting your head. Sometimes symptoms of a traumatic brain injury can be subtle. Watch out for changes in personality or behavior. Your family may notice it first. At Rubenstein Law, we make sure all of your injuries are addressed, especially head injuries. Call Rubenstein Law at 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Offices in Miami, Broward, and throughout Florida.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black Movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black Movement.
When you find something you've been craving, it's easy to get lost in the moment.
you feel like there's nothing else going on around you. It's just you and that food. At Speedway, we totally understand, because it's our job to provide that feeling. Whether you're building it your way with one of our delicious burgers, getting a hot breakfast sandwich on the go, loading up one of our tasty hot dogs, or picking out the perfect slice of our hot out-of-the-oven pizza, all of our food is prepared fresh daily and ready for you when the moment strikes. Pair it with a bag of chips, a warm cookie, and one of our thousands of drink options, and we've got you covered from snacks to any meal of the day. Get lost in our new Mega Stuffer with 75% more stuffing and cheesy goodness packed in there for you to enjoy. They're buy one, get one free for a limited time. And as always, make sure you show your Speedy Rewards card when you check out. It's all just another way Speedway is keeping up with the speed of you.
We're on the way to the convenience stores of Speedway.
J.J. Hightail here for Direct Auto and Life Insurance. Pleasant surprises really make your day. Like when you find a parking meter with 30 minutes still on it. Or like finding out you can get a low rate and great services from Direct Auto, regardless of your driving history. Get auto insurance starting at just $41 a month and be pleasantly surprised. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Premiums vary. Not available in all states. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, this is Betty Wright, and you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105, a Cox Media Group station.
Some things are worth waiting for. Some things improve with age. Like a vintage wine, growing mellow and fine, as you let it reach the proper stage. Well, wine is not alone in getting better with the years. A man is at his greatest when he's gray and round the ears. Yes, an older man is like an elegant wine. Sumptuous glow, and that's why the man who I would like to call mine will be an older man who's like an elegant one. Of a grand Armagnac, and that's why the man with whom I'd like to combine will be an older man who's like an elegant. Thank you.
like an elegant wine.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. And if you are calling, I do see one or two calls that we will be able to get to, but our phone lines are not up completely, so please forgive me. And it is on the other side. Well, 1 minute, and it'll be Hot Talk at midnight. Tonight, we are also addressing the murder.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.